Hello and welcome to Florida Politics Reviewed. I'm your host, Catherine Marin, and this is a podcast out of Florida Political Review, Florida's preeminent student political journal. For more in-depth coverage of Florida politics, visit our website, floridapoliticalreview.com, and follow us on Twitter at FLA Review.
Here's your rapid-fire news for the week. From Florida Political Review, be sure to check out our opinion articles, What Alaska's Special Election Means for Florida, Florida's Political Leaders Have an Anti-Semitism Problem, and 4 Broward School Board Members Suspended, What's Next? Some things to keep your eye on in Florida politics. DeSantis is facing heat after sending a plane of 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard as a protest against, quote, Biden's open border policies and what his administration calls the incentivization of illegal immigration. Authorities in Texas announced they are launching an investigation into the matter. DeSantis said focusing on illegal immigration and issues at the border will be a key part of his re-election campaign. Also, 12 Republicans in key battleground races refused to say they would accept the results of the upcoming midterm elections if things don't go their way, including DeSantis and Marco Rubio, when asked by the Washington Post this week. Next, DeSantis and Attorney General Ashley Moody are appealing a recent ruling that blocked part of the Stop Woke Act, a law that restricts how race-related issues can be addressed in schools and the workplace. And of course, Florida's November 8th midterms are quickly approaching. Stay informed with FPR's coverage.
Governor Ron DeSantis suspended Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren from office for neglect of duty on August 4th. Maria, walk me through this. So what happened with this Warren situation, and what are the recent developments?
Thank you, by the way, for inviting me here.
Of course, of course.
So, first off, as we know, the governor stated 2 main reasons for as to why he suspended Andrew Warren. The first reason, which was the reason that made headlines all over the news, was that Warren was one of many state attorneys across the country who stated that they did not want to prosecute women who are having abortions nor abortion providers. In light of the recent Supreme Court case that overturned Roe v. Wade. As we know, Andrew Warren's decision to support this cause, to not prosecute abortion-related crimes, does go against Florida's recently passed 15-week abortion ban. So that was the first reason as to why Ron DeSantis suspended Andrew Warren. The second reason is that in the past, Andrew Warren has stated that he did not want to pursue any prosecutions on minors and their families, minors who are undergoing gender-affirming surgeries. Now, an important point to note about that is, unlike the abortion reason, where Florida does have a law that criminalizes abortion up to 15 weeks, with the gender-affirming reason, there's actually no law in Florida right now that bans the procedure for minors. That could change a year from now.
Of course, right?
A year from now, it could become banned. After all, there's some recent reports that state legislatures here in Florida in this upcoming session want to ban the procedure, but now it's not banned.
And you said abortions are banned up to 15 weeks. Did you mean that abortions are banned after the 15-week period?
Yes, I am so sorry. I misspoke there.
No, that's okay. But okay, so what are these more recent developments with Andrew Warren?
As we know, one of the first things that Andrew Warren said upon hearing of his suspension was that he was not going to back down without a fight. And he took that literally. He did start a fight. In court, he sued the governor. And just recently, before a federal judge, well, oral arguments were heard before a federal judge in Tallahassee. Even though this judge did not right away reinstate Andrew Warren as state attorney, he did schedule a trial that will occur in the upcoming months.
Okay.
A trial that will deal with Andrew Warren's claim that his suspension violated his First Amendment rights.
And so what are the implications of this, right? So if the judge favors and or sides in favor of Andrew Warren, what are the implications of that? Or if he sides against Andrew Warren. What are the implications of that route?
The first obvious implication is that whoever the judge rules for, someone is going to appeal. So this matter will most likely not be settled right away. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the court battle between Warren and DeSantis will go on for a while, as most court cases do. But one important legal implication is that however the case is decided, whether in favor for Warren being reinstated or against Warren being reinstated, this will determine and set important precedent on the governor's power to suspend elected officials.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much, Maria. Thanks for coming on. It was great to have you.
Today, we have Ashlyn Zazzaro joining us. Ashlyn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So let's just dive in. The most well-known members of Florida's GOP are some of the most right-wing in terms of national politics. This leads to a nationwide perception that Florida Republicans are similarly extreme in their beliefs. Is this accurate? So that's the question we're tackling today. In your article, you bring up Kansas and crossover votes, a huge victory for supporters of reproductive rights following the Supreme Court's overturn of Roe v. Wade. So half of Kansas voters are affiliated with the Republican Party. And still, the ballot measure to remove abortion protections was rejected. How does that math add up?
Yeah, so basically, the ballot was rejected with approximately 60% of the vote. So if all Kansas Republicans were to vote against it, basically, if all Kansas Democrats were to vote against that ballot or that referendum, then there would need to be crossover votes from either Kansas Republicans or independents or both, because there's mathematically not just enough Democrats for that 60% to happen.
Right. And so 59% of voters rejected the ballot measure. And do you think these examples in your article, Matt Gaetz, Marco Rubio, they're the figures that are leading the national narrative of what Republicans believe in?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And I think basically right now, the Republican Party is really focused on Donald Trump, and Matt Gaetz and Marco Rubio are very strong in their support of former President Trump as well as policies of his. So I think that also reflects on Florida voters, which is why this was something I wanted to tackle in this article, because so many people, when they think of Florida politics, they really think of those two, as well as Governor DeSantis. So it's definitely reflecting back on the state for sure.
Right. And one of the other issues you touch on when focusing on in-house party polarization is the divisiveness on gun control reform. What distinction do you see between the way Florida Republicans voted on the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act in comparison to Republican voters' consensus on gun reform?
Yeah, so it's definitely really interesting. As I stated in my article, only one Florida Republican actually voted for the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. But in reality, over 85% of Florida voters support at least increasing the measures of gun control, and the Safer Communities Act wasn't really anything crazy. It wasn't gun buybacks or anything. It's more so just tightening up some things. So really, I think that it kind of shows a divide between what Republican officials are trying to get done versus what Florida voters actually think. I think that this is largely an attempt to kind of cater to the base, because those are the people who are really going to go out and vote. And if you try to paint a narrative that basically, oh, people are trying to take your guns away, and this so-called bipartisan bill is actually a form of taking guns away, then that's going to energize people to come out and vote.
Right. That's quite the mismatch. So my last question to you is, do you think the polling data is clear enough to decisively say that Florida Republicans aren't accurately represented by the voices of GOP lawmakers?
Yeah, so honestly, it's a bit murky, so it's hard to decisively say. But one thing we can kind of decisively say is that the national perception of Florida Republicans isn't really accurate. But if there's a if this mismatch translates into them not being represented, then that requires, I think, more research.
Thank you for joining us, Ashlyn.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
With me now is Stephen Ingersoll, who has written an article on Florida Political Review about Biden's student loan forgiveness plan, which cancels in total approximately $230 billion of student loan debt. Now, Stephen, what's included in Biden's student loan forgiveness plan?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, so the Biden bill breaks down into a few main parts. First is the targeted debt relief, which is $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients and $10,000 for most other people. The cutting of student loan monthly payments from 10 to 5%, and also the increasing of Pell Grants by $2,175. Another thing that isn't talked about as much, but it's just as important, is the waiving of all interest for student loan holders that pay their monthly payments on time.
Okay, that's interesting. And so how does this affect Floridians? Will this target a lot of Floridians?
Yeah, so people think of Florida having an old population, but we're actually the fifth highest debt holders of student debt per capita.
Oh, wow.
Forms of financial aid such as Pell Grants used to cover about 80% of tuition costs, but now they only cover about 30%.
Which is much less. So how has Governor DeSantis responded to Biden's student loan forgiveness?
Yeah, so he's been harshly critical of it. His exact words were that it's a bill that rewards the rich and punishes the poor.
Is DeSantis's reaction likely a partisan response? What are the Republican and Democratic polls showing?
Yeah, so obviously we know that college debt forgiveness is something that Republicans and Democrats disagree on, but something that's more recent is the partisan view of college itself. So it used to be, according to the polls, about 2012, even though Republicans were slightly less optimistic about college, Democrats and Republicans could agree that college was mostly beneficial for society. But since 2015, opinions have actually flipped in the Republican Party. It went from being 53% positive and 35% negative to being 59% negative and 33% positive. So really, this could just be an example of politicians playing to their base. DeSantis knows that Republicans generally view college as being negative, and this is a way for him to gain more support.
Okay, yeah. And so where's the student debt crisis now after Biden's debt forgiveness?
Yeah, so in 2009, the student debt was $720 billion, and that's risen to $1.6 trillion today, which is about a 92% increase. And something Biden has been criticized for is that this doesn't really solve the underlying crisis. It will remove $230 billion from the total. So this will remove $230 billion from the total, but it's only a Band-Aid on top of the fact that college costs will probably continue to rise, and this doesn't address the underlying problems.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on, Stephen. I look forward to seeing you again.
All right.
That's it for the show today. Be sure to stay updated on all things Florida politics by visiting our website, floridapoliticalreview.com. Thanks for listening to Florida Politics Reviewed.